This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And I sound like I'm talking slow because I'm exhausted. All this wicked, crazy weather.
Yeah, nothing like plenty of rain. It's got the water. Water levels are nice and high if you're driving around.
It is crazy. And I have some gremlins, I think. So
I think we've got plenty of gremlins today. It's been that kind of a day. No. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a gremlin kind of a day.
I've got some gremlins. Anyway, it's a gremlin kind of day. There was a kind of a wicked storm that went through. Everybody's been so hopefully everything. We're kind of running on bubble gum and duct tape, so we'll make it happen.
It happens. You know, it's a good thing we swung by Bi-Mart for Lucky Number Tuesday to get that bubble gum and duct tape. Otherwise,
well, and some ammo, right? Yeah, waiting for, did you get your ammo?
Not this morning, just the bubble gum and duct tape. You know, we had to keep things running.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to dive right in today. It is Tuesday, which means it's Real Estate Insights, and the lovely Amy McLeod is sitting somewhere in, I don't know, paradise. It's warm where she is, and she's like sunning herself on the beach. We don't want to talk about it. So joining us today is the lovely Anna Parker. Anna is with McLeod Group Keller Williams. Anna, it's so good to see you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
So she's gallivanting somewhere, right? Just, you know, getting a tan and enjoying herself, drinking mimosas.
Well, we're Scandinavian, so we don't tan. We mostly just burn and freckle, so.
See, I'm Irish. I totally relate to that. Unless I fake and bake it, I'm like freckles and red.
Yeah. It's a red and freckle experience, nothing more, so. But I can tell she's probably itching to get back into town because about 7 to 10 days is her litmus, and then she's like, it's time to go. So,
well, with this rainstorm, she's probably happy to not be here.
So. Yeah, I don't think she's mad about missing the atmospheric river we're having.
The atmosphere. Yeah, well, I'm not happy with this atmospheric river. And when where I am, we had really, really heavy winds. And so power is all doing all kinds of weird stuff. So I'm done with really. It honestly hasn't even started yet.
No, we got more time.
That's right.
All right. Well, okay, so it is Real Estate Insights, and so, and a scheduling note, because of the week of Christmas, we're not going to be broadcasting. We will do, Amy will be back to join us on New Year's Eve. So okay. We're going to have a little party. So just a programming note on that. Normally, we're every other week. We're going to change it up a little bit because we're taking Christmas off to be with our families. So Anna, normally when Amy's here, we kind of get a rundown on the stats. The real estate market in the Mid-Willamette Valley is kind of always kind of doing interesting things. So let's go ahead and get a rundown on what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, things are they're still kind of balancing out, right? I know Amy has talked about, and I think the last time I was here, we were talking about kind of more of a balanced market, even though it has some hallmarks. We were actually just talking about as a team yesterday in our team meeting about there's hallmarks. If you just look at the raw data of like, oh, it's this type of market or it's that type of market. Mm-hmm. It's a seller's market or a buyer's market. But it's not really behaving in the way it would have historically with that data previously. Right. So we were looking kind of in our Salem Kaiser area for months of inventory, and it was ranging anywhere from like 2.4 months to 4.6 months, which historically that would have been a seller's market or a neutral market. But yeah. Honestly, that data, if you look just at the number, you're like, oh, it's a seller's market in Kaiser. Well, not necessarily. We have to take into account put some framework around the data. We have to take into account time of year. So for us, when we're looking at that months of inventory, that means if nothing else were new were to come on to the market from like the time we looked at it, all of the inventory that's there, for example, Kaiser, would be gone in 2.5 months, right? So what we have to take into account when we give that framework is, okay, well, it's the holiday season. A lot of folks are kind of pulling back so they can enjoy their homes in the holidays, which is pretty standard. But also we're looking at probably just a little bit of seller fatigue too, taking their houses off. So what we're seeing kind of around the in months of inventory at the end of November, what Willamette Valley MLS was saying was there's about 4.5 months of listing inventory in our whole four-county area. So that's Salem, Kaiser, Marion, Polk, Lynn, and Benton. But we're seeing there's still sales happening. Like we're pushing up right now about 7,500 sales in that four county area. So people are still moving and selling and purchasing.
Yeah.
And it's just, honestly, I know I've talked about it before with you guys, is it's a matter of those five D's. Like, what's your motivation? What's pushing you to either need to sell or buy? And is it a big enough pain point or joy point for you to make that move? So,
yeah. Last time Amy was on, she was talking about, a lot of people think, well, the holidays are not a good time, but she really kind of laid out why they might be a good time, especially if one of those five D's is kind of roaring down your back, and it's not necessarily a bad time to be on the market.
Not at all. I mean, honestly, when I was gone last week, our team specifically, and this is just obviously a microcosm, is my agents put together about six deals, and four of them were buyers. So there's buyers out there looking to buy even now in December. That was the week of and the week after Thanksgiving. So, I mean, if there are buyers out there now, if you're thinking about selling or your house is on the market, make sure you're priced well and presented properly, because there are serious buyers out there ready to make a move.
Yeah. So what about price points? I mean, there's some fluctuation. We see, ups and downs in different areas, some surprises. How's that? Is it remaining relatively steady, right?
Yeah, pretty.
Because it is.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty steady, Denise. Like we were looking at just Salem, Kaiser areas for our team yesterday, and about the average sales price for our area was like about $472, give or take. Mm-hmm. And that's been we look at that pricing every week as a team, and that's been ranging between that $470 and $480 price for the last probably 2 or 3 months pretty consistently, like plus or minus about a couple $1,000s. But that's the average here in the area. And I think Kaiser's was just about $500 for the average sales price here in Kaiser specifically when I was looking at it yesterday, but about $472 across the Salem Kaiser area.
Now, for a while there was a big uptick of people kind of wanted to get out of the city and they wanted to get more rural. Are we seeing that kind of slow down, or where's that at?
No, I think there's still kind of a push to get into kind of those more rural communities. I mean, everyone wants a little bit more elbow room, so to speak.
Oh, heck yeah.
Be the masters of their own domain with well and septics and things. And there's some pros and cons to those. You have to different considerations. But yeah, we're definitely still seeing folks kind of moving into those rural communities. But they have their own hallmark challenges and question marks you have to be prepared for in those markets. So
it can be spendy. Mm-hmm. Yes,
it can be.
So I was seeing in the paper that the retrofit on the bridge, the West Salem, the one bridge, technically it's two, but is all the cosmic upgrades. And so if people are looking, is that affecting anything? Sometimes that impression of sitting in traffic to get over to West Salem could be like, oh, I don't want to do this every day. Is that having any impact at all yet?
No, I don't think so. Not that I've been aware of, or that really Amy has kind of, it's piqued her awareness either. I mean, I think for all of us that are here in the area and have been or do that bridge, it's just
we're used
part,
to it.
Yeah, it's part of the experience of living in West Salem, right? So
the experience. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take our first break. And then I want to come back. Let's talk to you about preparing for winter, because like I said, it isn't even here yet, and it feels like we're all over it, but there's a lot to do. And then if you live more rural, like you said, you've got other challenges, more urban, you've got those challenges. So let's come back and talk to Anna about how to prep your home for winter without breaking the bank. That ought to be very interesting. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Home Comfort.
Alrighty, we are talking today with Anna Parker, who is in for Amy McLeod, the McLeod Group Keller Williams Real Estate Insights, and we're talking about winter. Winter is here, it's warm, it's weird. We've got this atmospheric river which dumps tons of water, which is a whole bunch of challenges. I have a friend who's like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, the leak I didn't know about in my roof. So also these kind of weather things, all of a sudden you're like, great. Talk a little bit about doing what you can to get ready without, taking out a second mortgage.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, a lot of the prepping for the wintertime is they're pretty affordable things you can do without like breaking the bank. One thing before I give you like, hey, do A, B, and C, here's what I would tell you now. If you have not gotten your HVAC system serviced or checked out yet, do it now before we have the first like real cold snap, because then I can tell, having been there myself a couple years ago. Trying to get like one of the HVAC vendors in town out to my house was a bear because they were just slammed. So
yeah, and that's when it always fails. It's 17 below.
100%.
And your furnace says, I'm not going to work today.
Get those blankets.
HVAC systems are like studded tires and winter tires. And because, everyone waits till you have that first bit of snow on the ground and then every tire place is jammed to the roof.
Yeah. I would say that that would be my first encouragement is if you are like, if you're just questioning, when was the last time I had my furnace serviced? Make the call now. Like call a trusted vendor. If you need a recommendation, call my office. I can give you a few names. But call them now, because otherwise you will be sitting with your blankets and hopefully a gas fireplace on. But you'll be freezing and you want to get ahead of it. But to that point, a couple of the really easy, quick ones, Denise, is like on the HVAC, check your filter. When was the last time you changed your HVAC filter? Right. And be mindful. And I learned from my skin knees. I learned this the painful way. Know where you're putting your filter. Like, because if you put a filter, an HVAC tech told me once, if you're putting your filter in your furnace, you probably don't need the filters in your return vents, wherever those are located, because then they get doubly built up. And then your furnace is working harder and then it runs down faster. So be mindful of like, where did I change my filters, and go do that there. So it's either your furnace or your return vents is what I was told. Trust but verify what I said. Talk to your HVAC. But that's what I was told. So I had a filter in my furnace when I was living here in Kaiser, and we had our two filters in our return vents. And he was like, you are making your furnace work so hard to pump through these dirty filters.
Like, is it kind of like putting a mask on it and making it breathe harder?
I mean, you said it, not me, but maybe.
I said it. Well, that is good advice. And a lot of people, I mean, we're not HVAC experts. And I would ask them. And you definitely want it to be running, given the high cost of energy and everything else, you want it to be running at peak performance. Especially when it's, 0 degrees out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, another couple easy things that you can do to winter prep now before it gets real cold is minding, like, where do you have gaps in your house? Like, are there gaps at your windows where cool air is coming in and out? You're making that furnace work harder. You're weather stripping at your doors. Is everything catching properly? Those are really simple, like go to Home Depot, go to Lowe's, go to Ace, and get those things and just take care of them, because that will help you run more efficiently, which then helps your costs, your overall costs. And then you can, on the whole, like HVAC bend again, look at a smart thermostat. If that's something that's of interest to you, you can be a better manager of your thermostat and your use of your furnace. Investing in those kinds of easy things are really simple too. And then putting your little covers on your hose bibs now, if you're not using them.
Oh yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm, be mindful of those. And yep. I am a like over preparer type of person. I have a newer built house. And so they say, your outdoor spigots has an antifreeze on the inside of it. And I'm always like, yeah, that's great, but I don't trust it. So I always put the
I'm with you.
I always put the cover on too, just to double insure myself. So,
and those little styrofoam little whatever they are, little covers, they're like little
like $3 or something.
They look like they're like $3. I mean, that's insurance. I mean, spend the $3 just to be sure.
Right, because you don't want to have your water spigot pipe break or freeze, and then you've got an even bigger cost calling a plumber. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, having dogs that would tear apart those styrofoam things, I actually have to go and I'll get a towel and I will wrap it around and then put a plastic bag over it with a rubber band, which the dogs won't chew on the plastic. They'll chew on the styrofoam. So that's my trick for the spigot I have outside.
And then if you're really, really cold, they have heated tape and all kinds of stuff that you can put on there, depending on where you're at. So another thing, too, and I notice a lot of people, especially when it's, I'm thinking Eastern Oregon, where it gets like really cold and a lot of snow, putting those plastic kits on your windows, something like that, that would help out a lot.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in an older house that maybe doesn't have the same kind of insulation setup that the newer builds do, that might be something you could do easily to kind of manage that loss of heat. If that's going to be the easiest solution, as opposed to, replacing windows right now.
Oh, but the 100-year-old windows with wavy glass are charming, but in the wintertime, they're flipping cold.
Freezing.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah. So things like that, just to kind of put yourself in a position where you're prepping your house, because again, these kind of small things are making sure that you're preventing against bigger issues like that mm-hmm. furnace going out and having to replace it, repair it, or replace it when you weren't expecting to. Broken pipes where you have to call a plumber. Those are big ticket items that these small little prep things will hopefully prevent you from facing those challenges.
Well, and I'm thinking too, if you are listed and you are going to be showing during the holidays or any time when it's cold, January, February, when winter really hits, January and February is Northwest winter, make sure you're de-icing your outdoor spaces. The worst thing would be to have somebody look at your house and end up on their keister on your deck.
Yeah, that's a good idea too, for sure. Make that. The other thing I would say is to check and keep an eye on is check your insulation, like your attic insulation.
Yeah.
Check if you've got insulation under your floor in your crawl space. Maybe don't go down there now during this atmospheric river, but go down into your crawl space and check it and make sure, one, that you don't have insulation dropped on the floor on your visqueen or your vapor barrier, but make sure it's up there. And if you need more, add more in your attic and your crawl space. Again, just kind of consolidating loss of heat into your house. You want to prevent against that too. So really simple
things. I know, and they do. They are small things that you just kind of need to think about, and you don't want to be dealing with it like, you know, we said it's zero in the furnace. I've had that happen too, and where you have to get like a heater buddy inside, or you have to literally bring in a pup tent and make one room a warm room. You don't want to have to do that.
No.
And right now, while it is, it's unseasonably weirdly warm, and that atmospheric river, what, I think there's 3 more days of it, and I guess it's like record breaking. Of course it is. It's historical. It's huge.
It
and
always
coming
is.
In from
it
the
always
Philippines.
Is.
Well, don't you feel good? And you're living here.
Oh, you know, I love history. It's so wonderful that every winter we have a new historic storm come through.
So those are really pretty good basic things. Do you encourage people this time of year to do any kind of remodeling or anything like that, or should you just be in kind of maintenance and protective mode this time of year?
You know,
as far as if you're selling.
Well, if you're selling, I would say if you're on the market or thinking about getting on the market, obviously tackle your projects as soon as you can with the appropriate vendor.
Yeah.
But if your house is in a state where it's pretty solid and you feel good about the presentation of it, right? Amy always talks about pricing and presentation are the two main mm-hmm. things that get a house sold. If you feel good about your presentation of it, I would just pay attention to these small things. Cause again, it's really just about anticipating something going wrong, like defensive driving, right? It's defensive
right.
prep, winter prep, making sure we're not facing those bigger ticket repairs because we didn't prep and take care of our house now. And that's honestly, Denise, that's the biggest thing we see with a lot of sellers is like, oh, I'm just going to let this project wait. And it's like, no, just take care of it now, or take care of it so you don't have a bigger issue down the mm-hmm. line.
All right. So something popped into my head, those sub vents that are in the footing, the plastic little vents.
Like in your foundation.
Yeah. When is the right time to get those closed up and limit the airflow under the house?
You know, that's actually.
That's a good question.
That's a very good question. And actually, every inspector that I have talked to, they actually recommend not blocking those foundation vents, particularly if you have underfloor insulation. And the reason for that being is that you want airflow in your crawl space to prevent against like mildew and mold and fungal growth of all the various kinds. Yeah. You want that airflow through there. As long as you make sure, as long as your like pipes are insulated properly, the way they're your plumbing pipes and all those things, as long as those are insulated properly, you actually kind of want to keep those vents open. Contrary to what most people think about blocking them with those styrofoam blocks or the flappers, you want that airflow moving. Because again, if we think about it, if we block it up, we're managing and maintaining our homes in a warm status. You've got condensation in your crawl space, and now it's a dark, warm space where fungal growth and mold and things can feed on anything that's down there. The technical term is cellulose debris, but it's just like wood and garbage and whatnot. It's a breeding ground for that stuff.
Yeah.
So actually, you want to keep those
a
vents
smorgasbord.
Open. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that makes total sense. It does. I know. Doesn't that sound delicious? Like you want mold. You want to be able to like go down to your crawl space and have all the mold look up at you blinking like, hello. We love it here too.
Yeah. Welcome.
Grow your own ecosystem, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What do we got? About a minute left, Hunter?
About a minute. A little more than a minute.
Okay, real quick then, Amy, before we hit the bottom of the hour. Good to have an inspection. Can I wing it yourself? You kind of know your problems. Do it before or wait until it's found out in an inspection?
You know, it's kind of two good questions, kind of two trains of thought. If you want to just like get ahead of it and handle it, you think you've got a good handle on your property, we would say, hey, maybe wait to see what a buyer, a buyer's inspection. If you've got a property that has some signs of it, we would definitely recommend a lot of our couple sellers most recently have done those pre-listing inspections and done the work ahead of time. And it makes our our purchase process a little bit smoother.
Yeah, I would think that advice, because on the one hand, it's like, oh, a lot of people, do I really want to know what's wrong? And maybe I can just skate by with nothing. But if you really have, especially if it's an older property and you want to get ahead of it and make sure you don't have any surprises on the other side.
Yep, exactly.
I think that would make sense. Go on, Hunter.
Well, that whole mentality in so many people do it of, well, maybe they won't notice it. Maybe the inspector won't notice the challenges.
You know, I would say that depends on what type of gambler you are. What's your tolerance for risk?
I'm only dropping 400 grand on. It's not in my best interest to notice.
No, there's nothing wrong. Just look the other way. You don't see anything here.
All right. Well, we are coming up on the bottom of the hour news. And so on the other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit about interest rates and fixer-uppers. So come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
And, well, of course, there was a familiar voice in the break.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, She's out of the country enjoying hot, warm weather and not an atmospheric river. So, you know, we need to get her to, you know, chime in here and there.
Yeah. She planned well with the weather, certainly. And again, she will be back on the 30, moving that out a week because Christmas week kind of messes up all our plans. Not really, but we're going to enjoy some time off. So we will do a Christmas or a New Year's Eve party with Amy. And Amy will bring the champagne. Maybe we'll do some crackers. I don't know.
Right.
What could we do, Hunter?
Cheese crackers.
A charcuterie board. board.
That would actually just kind of hit the spot, wouldn't it?
Maybe we need to get some cozies.
Big plans for our New Year's Eve party.
All right, we got a plan. We don't want to bore everybody with that. Okay, Anna. So in for Amy today is Anna Parker. She is with the McLeod Group, Keller Williams. So interest rates are always a topic of conversation. What are they doing? Where are they at? I haven't followed them as closely. I had been for a while.
Yeah.
Unlike gold and silver prices. Hello, people. Are you watching those? Oh, my gosh. Yikes. So what are interest rates doing? Do I need to be concerned there?
No, I mean, I think interest rates it's always it's a moving market, right? Amy always likes to say in terms of pricing for housing and the mortgage industry, it's like the S&P, it's like the stock market. We just don't ever have the ticker tape where we can track it. But we're seeing things kind of normalize and stabilize. And so while what we're expecting in 2026 is that mortgage rates are probably going to start coming down a little bit. You know, and actually some of our lender partners have been speaking to the number of buyer applications that they've received in the last couple of months have just like gone up through the roof in anticipation of those kind of mortgage rates stabilizing a little bit more. So I've heard reports of it coming down to the low sixes, into the high fives, mid fives. And obviously that takes into account a lot of other details and factors, but we're starting to see some trends or talking heads leaning in that direction as well of, hey, we might start seeing some normalizing, stabilizing of those rates, which is great for buyers because that a change in that mortgage rate, even a quarter point, changes their buying power drastically, like thousands of dollars just in a change in a mortgage interest rate, just even by a quarter point.
So quick question for you. When they were kind of up high, they were in the high sixes, I mean, fluttering around sevens. I mean, they got up there for a while. It was all about kind of date the rate.
Right.
And I forget the rest of that, whatever that saying is, but I remember date the rate. Because you're not locked in, you can refinance. Where's the line when it's like it makes sense to refinance? How many points, quarter points? Where does that make sense?
You know, that's always really tough because it depends on, to answer flat out for you, because it really depends on a lot of factors in terms of like, what's your, how much is your loan? Like, what's the total amount of your loan? What's the, what is that impact on your payment going to actually be? So I'd recommend like reaching out to a trusted lender. Obviously you can reach out to Elizabeth Smith at Success Mortgage Partners. Mm-hmm. She's a great resource. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of other really great resources in town, and just looking at what does that picture look at, and be prepared. Those rates, they change every single day. So whatever you're looking at that day, you need to be prepared. That may or may not be the case when you're actually ready to complete that refi. But you also have the option to, even if you want to, you can buy that rate down even further depending on where it's at that moment in time. So
are things looking pretty good? Like you said, they are starting to come down, maybe even into the high fives. Is 2026 kind of like penciling out to be a pretty good year?
Yeah,
real,
I mean,
estate wise,
yeah, I think we're expecting it to be similar in terms of units to 2025 or process, but we might start to see that increase in terms of buyers coming into the market. Because if the rates come down, that, like I said, it improves their purchasing power. They have the ability to buy more at a lower rate. We also have some kind of stabilizing in the underwriting world in terms of what buyers are able to qualify, right? So we see some of those things not loosening the way they did back in the downturn, but definitely loosening, where I think the mortgage market is normalizing. Like we're coming out of, I think, that post-COVID like craze, and then it was like a tightening.
The unicorn years,
right? Yeah. So we're seeing crazy. That a ton, and it, like I said, the change in those rates can change that buyer's buying power, which changes their monthly payment every month, which could be thousands of dollars of savings over the life of their loan. So we're expecting for our buyer clients to kind of come back into the market full force, which is great for sellers, right? Like, they want to have more buyers coming to their table.
Right.
But what we're starting to talk to our clients about, and like I said in the previous segment, our team put together about 6 units last week alone, and 4 of them were buyers. So we're talking to our buyers right now of like, hey, let's get into the market now, because if you're on the buyer side of the field and if there's fewer buyers competing against you, you have a higher likelihood of getting, one, the house you want, and two, being able to negotiate some more favorable terms for you when you're on that buyer side of the field. So, and then of course, if the rates adjust, you can talk to that lender again about the refinance, to your point of like, it's still a little bit date the rate, and the phrase was date the rate, marry the house. But
there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew it was. Yeah.
You were on the right track.
Again, I'm tired. It was a long night last night.
She knew about dating
that
the rate.
Atmospheric river.
That's the most important
river.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, because I know a lot of people were like, well, we're going to buy, because Amy's always said, don't sit on the sidelines because numbers out. It doesn't pay to do that as the value continues to go up. And so I'm assuming that values, we're staying steady on that too, as far as appreciation.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see where the numbers end up at the end of this month. But what we've kind of been loosely anticipating is appreciation for prices for our sellers is landing anywhere from about 2-6% this year in terms of, so we're not seeing a drop. It's definitely not the pace that it was a handful of years ago.
Yeah.
But it's still increasing, right? Because there's a joke of like, buy dirt, they're not making more of it. Well, that is a direct correlation to our pricing, right? But, you know, for sellers, is if you're serious, we're talking to our seller clients now, if you're serious about getting into the market now, get into the market now. Or if you want to wait till the spring, if see what those, again, talking about what kind of gambler you are, you could wait till the spring and see what those rates do and how many buyers come out of the woodworks. Because I can tell you there's some pent-up demand on the buyer side because they've just been pressed on these rates for the last couple of years.
Right. And then as far as inventory, I know we talk about, what was it out by you, Hunter? There was that build. There's there's a bunch of sort of building projects going. Right.
Well, so yeah, and then there's a new project out south near the South Salem Costco's. There's one off Battle Creek. There's a couple off Battle Creek. So we've got some inventory that's in the works. They're still kind of in the prepping PUD stuff, but there's some listing inventory coming. It's just going to be a little ways out. The Mushroom Factory over on Corden Road, that area is almost complete, if I recall. Mm-hmm. But
And those are all single family houses?
For the most part. There's a section over there that I know is apartment complexes, like a two or three complexes. But there's a lot of single family out there in that kind of old mushroom plant property. So.
Yeah. Yeah. What I've seen, because they did it up not too far from my house in Northeast Salem, where they build a number of single family homes and then kind of an apartment complex to kind of round it out. So. Yeah.
That multifamily element. Yeah. I mean, what Amy's been talking about, and actually some of our sellers that are getting ready to come on the market, is for sellers, if you want to just kind of slow play it a little bit, use this time to prep your house. So if you've got updates you need to do, do it now. If you need to paint, do it now, and be ready to come on in the early part of 2026 as we're anticipating those rates to adjust and more buyers to come back into the market.
Probably not exterior painting, though. Although I know I hear Salem Paint, they have paint that it's like, once it stops raining, within a half an hour, you can put it up. And I'm misquoting, and Craig will probably kill me for that. But there's a lot of new paint technology that even if you've got to like jump out there in between raindrops, you can get this stuff done.
You can. It just depends. Exterior paint, you might want to hold on that just for longevity of it. But being mindful, too, of like if you have big projects of like, so you were asking earlier about those kind of rural listings, those rural properties. If you have a system like a well system or a septic system, you're not going to be able to do that work right now either. So that might factor into like when you're considering putting your house on the market, because they have to have nice weather for that too. So, but those mortgage rates, they are such a big factor for both sides of the real estate transaction that I always joke with people like you can't ever perfectly time the market as it relates to rates, because you will not know it's been the quote perfect market till you're looking back at it. Mm-hmm. Right. So.
Well, exactly. And like you said, it changes some. I mean, if you're sitting there watching it like a hawk, it's kind of like watching gold and silver prices. They go up, they go down. I mean, it's a constantly change. You give yourself absolute agita just keeping an eye on it. So you don't really want to be that hawk.
Yeah. I mean, pay attention to it. Take it into consideration. It's going to play a factor into whatever side of real estate you're on this coming year. We're anticipating 2026, like I said, to be kind of a transitional year. Like we're coming out of the last couple of really tough years, post-unicorn years. So we're expecting it to kind of be more transitional, but maybe not as like, heavy, hard for all parties involved.
Wouldn't that be nice if all of 2026 is like that in every aspect of life?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Again, with 2025, it was like, Happy New Year, and then blah, 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 a bunch of crap, and then, okay, it's Christmas. It's like been a weird year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, break, and then I want to come back and talk Fixer Upper with you and maybe some design trends. Pantone put out its color of the year for 2026, which we're not going to talk about the controversy of that, but I want to talk about the color because I was surprised. So let's come back and talk a little bit about that. And then again, as do fixer uppers. And a lot of, I know younger people are like, nah, I want to just move in and have it be beautiful. So is there still a market for that? Again, we're talking with Anna Parker with the McLeod Group, Keller Williams, and you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Pearland Mill in Cozy's New York Deli.
I'm seriously thinking a tray full of cozies for New Year's Eve.
Well, we had that the last time Mike Adams made an appearance here, so
I know God could happen again. He brings food. I think it's a good idea, and then we could, you know, I guess that would be day drinking on the air, which is really kind of a bad idea. So we should do sparkling cider.
Or yeah, we'll take pictures with the sparkling cider. How about that one?
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Although we have done wine tasting and beer tastings in the past, but we don't do those very often.
Well, that was anyway, when you had afternoon show. You had that afternoon show is when you did all that.
Right. We did have an after. We had a couple hours to kill in drive time. And so it's like, it's after five. It so what the heck?
5 o'clock somewhere.
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock right here in the studio. So here we go.
That's right. We might have to delay the show. That might be the way. We just delay the show. We're going to play it at 5 o'clock instead of at noon.
Again, all bets are off. It's the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
So we are wrapping up our conversation today, Real Estate Insights, and Anna Parker is in with us today from the McLeod Group, Keller Williams. Okay, fixer-uppers. I remember back in the day, you know, when I bought my first house in like 1986, I think, and a fixer-upper was told, it's like, yeah, get in really low, put in the sweat equity, the elbow grease. Everybody was kind of doing that because, number one, that was what we could afford. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of became a thing where then it became like flipping houses. So talk to us about that trend. Is it still a thing?
You know, there are people who are still looking for those, quote, fixer-upper properties. And we're hearing from folks like, is that still a good deal? And if it's the right deal for you, if you're prepared for like what the potential scope is, then maybe it is. I can tell you for the vast majority of our buyers right now, because Amy often, and we get referred to as it, is the millennials were the echo boomers, right? So the echo boomers and the Gen Xers, we are the biggest buying crowd right now, tied with the boomers, right? Mm-hmm. But I can tell you the vast majority of the millennial world do not carry the skills for that fixer-upper life, right? Because we got wood shop cut and auto shop cut and all those kinds of things.
Home ec.
Anyway, so it really kind of depends. I mean, there are still places out there. I was just talking with an agent this morning that one of her buyers was looking at a property and it's finally coming on the market, but it is not in a financeable position. So that's the other thing you got to think about in these fixer-uppers is most of the ones that come onto the market that are would fall under that umbrella term fixer-upper, they're usually in such a state that you have to either do a special financing program, which there are. It's a FHA 203K or 203B loan where you build in the cost of the repairs and the fixing up into your loan, or you're going to be buying it cash, right? Because it's in
so
such
a
bad state.
So let's define some, because in my mind, fixer-upper is a little shabby paint, needs new carpet, stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
That's where I was going to chime in. I'm going back to the late 2000s, 2010, when, you know, the HDTV was the huge trend. Everyone's looking for the flipper houses, and that.
Yep.
And, you know, we were looking for that house that, like you said, little bit of sweat equity, the paint, the, you know, fix this, the very basic things. And what we kept running into was you either have a move-in ready house, or you have ones that are going to take like tearing out a bathroom and rebuilding from scratch. It was very hard to find those middle of the road. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's as prevalent as we would like to think they are.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's not very many that we're like, oh, I just paint this, right? Mm-hmm. Honestly, for the sellers who are like thinking about should I or should I not do my, and I'm kind of going off script here, so bear with me. For the sellers who are thinking about putting their houses on the market and they're like, oh, this it's just paint. A buyer can see through paint. I'm going to price it at my premium price, but they can do that sweat equity after they close. They won't mind my lime green bedroom. And what I can tell you working with buyers is they go in and they oftentimes, because we don't have the frame of reference for what the costs are for repairs or updates or things like that, most people don't, they look at that lime green bedroom that's going to cost me $2,500. So I'm going to cut $5,000 off because I have to do the work or I have to wait for it. So it usually hurts sellers in the long run. But in terms of like going back to the main point of are they a good deal, it's really, that's hard to say because costs for renovations, even its small ones like paint, as you were saying, Hunter, countertops, flooring, carpeting, like the costs for those kinds of updates have not really come down, right? Like there's still a demand for labor. I was just talking with a contractor who's installing some carpet for a seller of ours that's getting ready to come to the market. He got delayed on his install by 2 weeks. Right. So, but that's not going to change the price, right? Like we're not getting a discount on the pricing because that's just what it is. Availability of materials, vendors to do the work. So if you're looking to buy a quote fixer upper, even if it's a small scope of work or a large scope of work, you have to really take into account a couple of things if you're going to be okay with it. So like what we always recommend to folks is like they can still make sense for you if you take into consideration these three things. Like, does the house have strong bones, right? Like, does it have a good base? If you are looking at a house, like I said, that cash only deal, if the framework of the house is questionable, so we're talking electrical system is questionable, plumbing, foundation issues, that's probably not the house for you if you're looking for a quick turnaround on that fixer-upper, because mm-hmm. those are huge scope jobs, high ticket yeah. items. Vendors are expensive. Few and far between, right? So you have to get on the schedule. And then what's the type? Like I mentioned that earlier in the last segment about septic and well, we had a client mm-hmm. that bought a house out in Dallas. They had to have their whole septic system replaced. They closed in December. They couldn't, I mean, it was still working, but it needed to be replaced.
Yeah.
They weren't
yeah.
without. But we closed in December. They couldn't do the work for scheduling and weather purposes until the end of May. And
oh god!
Now if this pricing, please know this is specific to this property because of the topography
yeah, yeah,
and whatnot.
Sure.
But that cost to install the new system was like almost $50,000.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. So you want to, when you're looking at these fixer uppers, you want to take into consideration what's the structure I'm working with? What are the bones? What's the skeleton of this house? Is it good?
See, and I just to interject real quick, I kind of envision the people that want to buy that Craftsman or that 100-year-old farmhouse, and they want to do the work, and that's a unique buyer mm-hmm. that wants to do that. Like they're, like you said, they're getting the good bones, and it's the history, it's the quirkiness, it's the uniqueness of the house versus just kind of getting a piece of garbage that's sort of in town, you know what I'm saying? That
yeah.
there's more, and they want to do the work, and they have the craftsmen, they have the skills to do it.
Yeah.
So are they becoming fewer and fewer? Because I see a lot of, it's the sort of this authenticity movement, the craftsman movement
yeah.
that's kind of making a comeback for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it is, just because I think there's some desire for uniqueness and quirkiness
yeah.
and not just the like
character and charm.
Yes, yeah.
yeah.
So we're seeing that. So if you're looking at a fixer-upper and you're looking at it and you're saying, hey, these bones are good, I feel good about it, then it might make sense for you. The other thing you want to take into consideration when you're looking at these houses, to your point, Hunter, is like, are these mostly cosmetic things? Like, is this
yeah.
something that I feel okay, or I feel like I've got the skills, or I've got the support people who can help me come paint a couple of rooms? Like my cousin bought a house on Arcade Avenue here in Kaiser. And when they first bought it, our whole family was over there painting and edging. And it was like, it was our whole family event moving them into their house. So the other thing,
well, we got to.
Oh, sorry. Go
1 minute. So we got to. Yeah. No. I'm just going to say the time has gotten away from us. Mm-hmm. So 1 minute and we'll wrap up that segment of
yeah.
for fixer uppers.
The other thing I'd say about if you're considering a fixer upper is have clarity about your scope of work and the timeline and your budget. If there's things that you don't think you can get to within the next 3 to 6 months, that might not be the project you want to tackle in terms of that property. So it could work. You just have to go in eyes wide open.
I think it's a unique kind of buyer. And of course, we didn't even get to touch on Pantone's color of the year, Cloud Dancer White, which I thought we were over gray and white. Anna, I don't know what they're doing here.
Pops of color on that Cloud Dancer White.
It's Cloud Dancer.
Yes.
Come on, how wonderful is Cloud Dancer?
Extra special you fancy.
You can add
extra
your
special.
Own touch of character to that Pantone color.
All the fun. Come on.
All the fun. Well, Anna, it's always a pleasure. I don't think we'll be seeing you until after Christmas. So Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
And your family. We love seeing you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. That's it for us, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.